Ian Prescaiatha tasted his first truffle when he was 15 years old. He was out at a fancy restaurant with a friend's family.
The server came over and said, okay, we have a special for tonight, and it's a black truffle ravioli with a foie gras sauce. And it was music to my ears.
So why would a 15-year-old boy care about truffles? Well, Ian's family had just moved from Houston to rural Arkansas, and Ian had gotten really into foraging for mushrooms. For foragers, truffles are almost mythical. They're really hard to find because they grow underground around the roots of trees. They have this flavor and aroma that's just legendary. And, of course, they're insanely expensive. So there in that restaurant, Ian ordered the truffle dish.
There were chunks of black truffle in the ravioli. I mean, it was earthy, it was nutty, it was mysterious. I mean, it was this unknown flavor that I had never tasted. That was it. I mean, it was like such a revelatory experience. You know, I can't even remember, like, you know, where I parked the car yesterday, but yet I remember everything about this moment.
Ian became obsessed. He took all his savings and used it to buy a kilo of truffles on an Italian website. When they arrived, he realized he had gotten way more than he could eat. So he took the leftovers to a restaurant in town.
I showed up on the doorstep with this bag of truffles and a scale I had bought at Target and an invoice book from Staples. And I said, hi, I'm Ian. I have some truffles. Would you be interested in buying some truffles? And I don't know if it was the novelty of this, you know, buck-toothed 15-year-old kid walking in the door with a bag full of truffles, but I sold them and I made a profit.
And that moment is why my friend Stacy and I are standing in a walk-in refrigerator in Queens at 11 in the morning on a Tuesday, cracking open a shipment of white truffles that Ian's just flown in from Italy.
So how much money is in this box?
I don't know, $20,000?
There's $20,000 in this styrofoam box.
Yep.
$20,000 is about 8 pounds of truffles. And Ian's got to sell all 8 pounds by 5 p.m. today. That's when restaurants start the dinner rush. Oh, also, truffles don't keep. Today on The Sporkful, we'll follow Ian as he hustles his way through some of the finest kitchens in New York selling truffles. We'll battle traffic, parking cops, smugglers, penny-pinching chefs, and the cruel mistress of time. We'll try to figure out why people go so crazy for this food, and how a 24-year-old who sells them out of the trunk of his car is on pace to do $6 million in sales this year. Stick around. From WNYC Studios, this is The Sporkful. It's not for foodies, it's for eaters. I'm Dan Pashman. Each week on our show, we obsess about food to learn more about people. This episode is a special collaboration with our friends at NPR's Planet Money podcast, which means I get to have a co-host. My friend Stacey Vanek-Smith, Planet Money reporter, joins me. Hey, Stacey.
Hi, Dan.
So, welcome.
Thank you.
You ready to eat some truffles?
So ready to eat some truffles.
All right, good, good. So, I should say, if you heard Stacey and me do the truffle story on Planet Money recently, the first part of this show is going to be very similar.
But you can skip ahead to about the 21-minute mark for a whole other part that wasn't on Planet Money. And Dan and I really love this part because we get into this whole discussion about whether we like truffles more just because they're expensive and kind of the aura around them. And I have to say, Dan, we get pretty deep.
Yeah, I think we could go so far as to say it's going to get metaphysical.
We do, though.
Yeah, so stay tuned for that. But before we get to that, let's go over some facts. Truffles are a fungus, like mushrooms, although they are not actually mushrooms. Today we're focusing on white truffles, which are the most expensive, most sought-after variety because they have the strongest aroma and because they're the hardest to find. White truffles are only available from October to the end of the year, and they cannot be farmed or grown in a greenhouse. You can only get them by going out into the woods with an animal trained to smell them underground. That probably makes you think of pigs, but truffle hunters actually switched to using dogs a long time ago because the pigs wised up and started eating the truffles themselves.
Right. In fact, I think it's illegal to hunt truffles with pigs in Italy.
That's right.
But let's go back for now to that warehouse in Queens where Ian is inspecting the shipment of truffles he just received. So he cuts the box open. It's this cardboard box covered in U.S. Customs stickers.
What is this moment like for you, Ian?
Pure anxiety, honestly.
That's because so many things can go wrong between the time the truffles come out of the ground in Italy and the time Ian gets them in Queens. They could get stolen. They could be left on an airport tarmac. The airline maybe doesn't refrigerate them properly. They could even have bugs.
The truffles have already been on this amazing journey. I mean, 2 days ago, these were underground in a forest in Tuscany.
I'm just removing all the ice packs from the top of the box.
Oh, is that the smell?
That is the smell.
What do you think?
Oh my God, that smell.
It's not good. It's like...
I love it.
Burnt something. It's like burnt.
To me, it's like mushrooms combined with dirty socks in a good way.
What is dirty socks in a good way?
Ian takes out a truffle. He holds it up to the light, smells it. It's kind of round and lumpy. It's sort of golden white. It almost looks like Yukon Gold potatoes.
This one is very nice.
Ian looks really relieved because he's banking on these truffles for his business, Regalis Foods.
White truffles are only in season for about 12 weeks. And during that time, Ian makes most of his money for the year.
Ian puts the truffles into a dented styrofoam cooler covered with packing tape, loads them into the trunk of his car, and we're off.
All right. You guys ready? Do it.
Okay.
Ian needs to sell these $20,000 worth of truffles by 5 p.m. because that is when restaurants start gearing up for dinner.
Yeah, and if he doesn't do it, he's in trouble because literally every second that passes, the truffles are losing value.
Right, because truffles are mostly water, and every moment that they are out of the ground, they are losing water. They're drying up.
So it's like with every red light that we hit, a few pennies fall out of your pocket.
Pretty much. I would say I lose about 3% a day. So if we do the math, I'm probably going to lose about $1,500 today. Just in evaporation loss.
Just in the trunk.
In the trunk.
Do you think about that when you're sitting in traffic?
I mean, I've learned not to.
A few red lights later, we arrive at Peoria in the West Village. It's noon.
Are we backing down a one-way street?
Illegally backing, yeah. Okay. I'm going to back down the street. This guy is giving us the stink eye.
So you're parking like in a red zone right now?
I'm in a red zone.
How much money do you budget per year in parking tickets?
It's probably $10,000.
$10,000 a year in parking tickets? Really?
Yeah.
You just park wherever you just got to park. The truffles will not wait.
They can't wait.
Ian jumps out of the car, grabs the styrofoam cooler, balances his scale on top of it, and we rush into the restaurant.
All right, let's make it quick.
How are you?
Peoria is this really romantic, kind of airy restaurant, and the chef, Christopher Cipollone, meets us in the kitchen.
Ian's unwrapping the cooler right now. What are you thinking at this moment, Chef, as he unwraps? What's going through your mind?
I'm pretty excited. I'm always excited by what Ian brings me.
Chef Chris starts poking through the cooler, looking through the truffles.
These are actually gorgeous. And we've been doing quite well with the truffles, my friend. So we're doing a simple handmade ricotta stracciatella, and we just glaze it in butter and pasta water, and then just shave the truffles table side.
How much is the dish?
The dish is only $85. It's a steal.
Dan, this blew my mind. I mean, think about it. This is like pasta and butter, which is basically what you feed a child who has the stomach flu. I mean, it is some of the cheapest food you can get anywhere. And Chef Chris is charging $85 for a plate of buttered pasta.
Well, buttered pasta with truffles on top.
Yes.
And there is some logic to it because the idea is you want something kind of simple so that all the focus is on the truffles. You know, like you don't hang the Mona Lisa on a plaid wall, right? You put it on a white wall with a big spotlight on it. And pasta with butter is the culinary equivalent of a white wall.
And how many grams of truffles go into
five.
That?
5 grams is the weight of a nickel. That is how expensive truffles are. For that amount, Chef Chris is paying Ian about $25. And he's charging his diners about $85. That is a $60 markup.
That's a powerful food right there.
Yes, it is. And Chef Chris says people are happy to pay this amount because truffles are special. You can't get them all the time. Most places don't have them. And they're just excited to have this experience.
Every year, people kind of love to see what we are doing with truffles this year and what kind of preparations we're doing.
Chef Chris buys just under a half pound of truffles, which is, I mean, just a few truffles, each one the size of a racquetball. We peeked over at the bill.
That's a lot of money for truffles. $967.
It'll be gone in a couple days. It's all good.
So this whole time that we're talking to Chef Chris, Ian is texting madly on his phone, glancing toward the door every few minutes, you know, tapping his toe on the floor. He hasn't even sold a pound of truffles yet.
and we got 4.5 hours to go until the restaurants start dinner service. Ian packs up the truffles, and we're off.
And
no ticket.
No ticket!
The next deal went down literally on a street corner. Ian pulls over, private chef of a wealthy family comes out. They pop the trunk, she goes through the truffles, and within a couple minutes, another sale.
How'd it go?
Good. Over 4,000 sold.
$4,000?
Yeah.
Between the private chef and Peoria, Ian has sold $5,000 worth of truffles. But he still has $15,000 more to sell. So we drive to the house of a hedge fund billionaire. Ian jumps out of the car, sells him a pound of truffles.
Yeah, I guess, you know, he's got to put it in his coffee or something. You need that.
Yes. By now, it is 1:30, and the dinner rush starts in 3.5 hours.
Almost there.
So how are we doing so far clockwise?
We're a little behind.
The whole time we're with Ian, he is just in the zone. I mean, he's texting, he's driving, he's making deals on the phone and in person. The guy just has so much focus. And he's only 24 years old, which I think Stacey reminded both of us that we are total failures.
Also old.
Yes.
But Ian's been doing this a long time. He came to New York when he was 18 years old. And at the time, he bought a minivan and he would load it up every day with truffles and fresh mushrooms.
I would drive around to restaurants and beg chefs to come out to the van and take a look at what was inside my van. I was working 16-hour days, like, hustling, and, you know, I had so much stress, I was losing hair, and I had this weird, like, acne, like, flare-up, and I was embarrassed to, like, go outside, and I would just make an entire vat of macaroni and cheese and basically just, like, watch Netflix and, like, cry myself to sleep on weekends, and it sucked.
Things are much better for Ian these days. In fact, this year, he is on track to make $6 million in sales.
And the whole time we're driving around with him, I was just so struck by the contrast between those huge dollar figures that we keep seeing and hearing and just the ragtag nature of the operation itself. I mean, he's got these styrofoam coolers in the back of a rental car because his other car broke down. He's 24 years old, sort of unshaven and looking somewhat sleep deprived. And so he has like more in common, it seems, with a mid-level weed dealer than a luxury food titan. But that's what he is. I mean, he just signed a multi-million dollar deal with Williams Sonoma to sell truffle salt and truffle oil.
But Ian told us he's never going to stop doing this fresh truffle hustle. It is the centerpiece of his business. It's how he makes most of his money, and it's how he keeps up his relationships with the best chefs in New York, relationships that he made when he started selling mushrooms out of his minivan. In fact, one of his first customers who used to buy things out of his minivan is where we are headed next. That is Lure Fish Bar, and the chef is a guy named Josh Capon.
This is one chef that loves to bargain.
So what's your strategy going in a situation like this?
Maybe start a little high, see what he says.
Right. We're double parked. We're going in.
All right, fingers crossed, no tickets. The restaurant's packed. It's the middle of the lunch rush. So we wait a little while for the chef to come out. Ian sets down his cooler. He's still texting. And then finally, the kitchen door is open and the chef comes out.
Hey, Josh. How are you?
What's up, buddy? My name is Josh Capon. We are here at the legendary Lure Fish Bar with my good buddy Ian. Ian's actually in my phone as Ian Truffle Boy.
Chef Josh starts inspecting the truffles.
It's always a pleasure to see him, and what exciting, beautiful, and in this case, gorgeous smelling white truffles from Piemonte, Tuscany. Tuscany, one of the truest beautiful pleasures of the world. I went there on my honeymoon. I stayed in a castle. It was stupendous. And just smelling these white truffles, I'm transported back to that castle with my wife where we drank champagne with fresh peaches off the trees and made love in the forest together amongst the hogs. Is this for radio or TV?
If it was for TV, I think that the screen just went dark.
I think we just went NC-17.
Totally. So Chef Josh picks out a few truffles and piles them on Ian's little kitchen scale. And then they both start punching numbers into their own calculators on their phones.
I say we knock this number down to 1,200 even.
All right, we'll do it. We'll do it.
$1,000 even.
I can't see 1,000.
Come on, 1,100.
I can't.
At the same time, look at that, look at that. Ladies and gentlemen, $14 just came off the bill. Amazing.
Chef Josh buys 5 truffles for $1,200.
Josh says he plans to serve them tonight on a lobster risotto and on a special cheeseburger that he makes at his burger place across the street. The white truffles he puts on one burger cost him $22. Add in the other ingredients and it costs him about $27. Josh charges $68 for this special burger. Now, that might sound like a big markup, but the standard in restaurants is to charge 3 times the cost of the food. That's how you cover other expenses like staff and rent. If Josh charged triple his cost for this truffle burger, he'd be charging $81 instead of $68. So actually, if you're in the market for truffles, this burger's kind of a bargain. And Josh says it has quite a reputation.
You gotta just come have the white truffle burger at Burger and Barrel, and it'll literally blow your mind.
We rush back to the car. Ian still has about $12,000 worth of truffles left to sell, and it's 2:30.
Our next stop is Minetta Tavern. It's a well-known, pretty high-end place in the West Village. The chef is Dan Silverman. He's a tall, kind of reserved guy. He says he's been seeing a lot of truffle dealers around lately.
This time of year, people just wandering off the street with, like, checkered cloth bundles full of truffles. There's just, like, random people always every year.
Smuggle them, yeah.
Probably. I like to buy from the people that I know.
And here's the thing, there are Ians all over New York City right now. You could be passing one on the street right now with a backpack full of 20 grand worth of truffles. And some of these people are from other companies, but a lot of them are just hustlers. They're walking from one restaurant to another with a backpack full of truffles that they smuggled from Europe.
And you could see why they would do this. I mean, one truffle can cost $1,000, and you can fit a lot of truffles into a suitcase. When we get back in the car, Ian tells us, yeah, there are a lot of truffle smugglers in New York right now, and they've really hurt his business.
They cut out the middleman, they don't pay customs fees, and they've cut his profits in half. Ian says he used to make 20% profit on truffles. Now, more like 10%.
Ritzy restaurants, like the 2 and 3 Michelin-starred restaurants are the ones that love to negotiate because they're getting so many different truffle people in the door trying to sell them product that they have a choice of who they buy from.
At this point, it's 3:30, and Ian's got to leave us. He's got 90 minutes left to unload, like, $10,000 worth of truffles. And let's face it, Stacey, we were slowing him down.
So Ian drops us off in Soho, and at this point, we are both starving, and we both smell like dirty socks.
In a good way.
In a good way.
Stacey,
okay,
in a good way.
Take your word for it.
Right.
And I mean, we've been watching thousands of dollars change hand for these truffles, and I still have never tried one. I have no idea what the fuss is all about.
That's right, Stacey. And because we're consummate journalists, we head to Burger and Barrel to try Chef Josh Capon's $68 truffle burger.
This is the third week that we've been getting in white truffles, and in honor of that, we're doing our famous white truffle burger. I highly recommend it.
I would like to order that.
Our burgers arrive, and they are beautiful. The truffles are sliced thin and fanned out over the top of the burger so you can see them. 5 grams, apparently, worth of truffles. We took our bites.
Okay, this is it. This is the big moment.
I'm going in.
I don't know how to describe it. It's like shoes. It tastes like shoes, smoked shoes.
I told you, dirty socks in a good way.
Yeah.
See?
It came back around.
Yeah.
Dirty socks in a good way.
Right.
It does taste like dirty socks in a good way. It's the best description. I'm sorry I doubted you. I'm in.
All right.
I'm in. What is it about that dirty sock taste that is so good? Like, what was it about that flavor that made Ian devote his life to truffles? To start to understand this, we reached out to Avery Gilbert. He is a smell scientist. And he told us that one big factor in the taste of truffles is this molecule called androstenone.
It's a natural component of human body odor in sweat and urine, often more in males than females. So it's androstenone by itself has a kind of musky, urine-like almost character.
Do we love truffles because they smell like us? Is it like a person? Is that why we react so viscerally to them?
I think that's some of the draw. body odor notes in general are very salient for us. It's how we choose our mates. It's how we recognize kin. And possibly part of the allure of truffles is that it's a body odor, but it's showing up in your food.
Avery says farmers will spray female pigs with androstenone to get them in the mood, which is hot. And, you know, I think I get it.
We are eating humanity. The thing that we most want from the finest, fussiest restaurants in the world is sweat, sex, and urine. That is why we love truffles so much.
You'd think it'd be easier to replicate.
And cheaper.
Yeah, totally. But I do think there's also something about this high-low combination with the way the restaurants get the food. It's like one of their finest, most desired ingredients, and they're getting it in this sort of sketchy, back alley kind of way.
Right. People wandering in off the street with napkins full of truffles or styrofoam coolers. Speaking of which, we checked back in with Ian to see how the rest of his day had gone.
Yeah, and he probably should have kept us around a little bit longer because we were his good luck charm. And after he left us, his car got towed.
With $5,000 worth of truffles in the trunk.
Right, which is like your car getting towed with $5,000 worth of cash in the trunk.
Cash that is disintegrating.
Right.
But this is where all of Ian's calls and texting that he'd been doing all day paid off, because he'd actually been taking orders from chefs all over the country for any leftover truffles he might have. So as soon as he got his car out of the impound lot, he sped to the FedEx office at JFK Airport.
And in Ian's world, this is a buzzer beater, because there in the parking lot, he packed up the truffles and got them sent out just before the final FedEx deadline. Which means that if you recently ate truffles in Chicago or LA or San Francisco, it's quite possible that they were packed up in the trunk of Ian's car. So everything you just heard, I played it for Mrs. Porkful, and she said to me, "Bull." She said, the only reason you think truffles taste good is because they're expensive. If you took a blind taste test, you wouldn't know what you were eating. You're a sucker. Or maybe she wasn't that harsh, but that was her basic point. So, was she right? Coming up, Stacy and I will debate that question with smell scientist Avery Gilbert. Stick around. Welcome back to The Sporkful from WNYC Studios. I'm Dan Pashman. Before we get back to the show, I want to hear your New Year's food resolution. Here's what you got to do. Record a voice memo on your cell phone. Tell me your name. First name is fine if you prefer. Tell me where you're from. And then tell me, what food do you resolve to eat more of in the new year and why? Send the recording to me at dan@sporkful.com. You might hear yourself in our big year-end spectacular. Now I want to welcome back my co-host for this episode, Stacey Vanek-Smith from Planet Money. Hey, Stacey.
Hi, Dan.
So in order to figure out whether those truffle burgers actually tasted as good as we thought they did, we first have to talk just a bit about the way we decide how something tastes.
Right. I mean, you might think about taste as something that just happens in your mouth or in your nose and your mouth. But researchers now say that taste is really something that happens in your brain. And according to smell scientist Avery Gilbert, our brains are taking in a lot of information while we're eating.
The taste of your food can be altered by things like the color of the plate or the weight of the cutlery or the color of the tablecloth, the ambient music that's being played. Ambient music can change the flavor of your beer, and it can change your evaluation of the wine you're drinking as well. So all of this stuff is kind of feeding into your appreciation and evaluation of a dish.
Tell me about the role that the price, knowing what a food costs, how does that affect the way I perceive something I'm eating?
Knowing the price will change your perception of a product's quality, whether we're talking about perfume or wine, for example. Two wines that are equally pleasant to people when they're blindfolded, then you tell them about the price or the brand name, for that matter, of one, and they'll like that one suddenly much more, especially if they've paid for it.
If I told a person, here's a $50 plate of truffles and here's a $100 plate of truffles, which do you think tastes better? Most people are going to say the $100 plate tastes better, even if it's the same truffles in both plates, right?
Yeah, on average, you're going to get higher ratings with the more expensive plate.
Right. There's an assumption that when you go out and spend more for a product that you would not have been able to identify the difference in a blind taste test, that you are somehow a rube.
That's wrong. It's a common presumption, though. The blind taste test, psychologists like me come along, and too often it's a matter of coming into a nice, sterile, white lab, and you put on a blindfold, and somebody puts a tube in front of your nose, and they say, smell this. Do you like it? How the hell would I know? What is it? It's an unnatural act because you've stripped away all the context, all the multisensory context, all the other information that you're naturally drawing on when you make an evaluation like this.
Is there nothing, real there, though? Is it all just perception? Because Dan and I we paid $68 for cheeseburgers, which is more than I've ever paid for a cheeseburger. And it sounds like did we get ripped off?
No, you had the perception, and if it was enjoyable, it was worth it.
Whatever you pay for an eating experience, if you come away from that experience feeling that it was worth it, if your brain tells you that you got $68 worth of pleasure from that, then inherently it was worth it.
But there is a certain concrete element in the value of a food. In the truffles, there is a scarcity. They can't grow them. They are hard to get. There are actual factors, as opposed to if I just gave you a slice of American cheese and you ate it and you were like, wow, that seems like I got $60 worth of pleasure out of that. Is it just the story of the truffle and the mystique of the truffle that is causing the cost? It's not that it actually is some flavor that does something cool to our emotions because I am sort of compelled by the fact it smells human. That I feel like there's something there.
I think you put your finger on it. That's the key. Story and mystique are all fine, and every perfume company tries to create that for its brands, and certain wines have that about them. But it's just there's the weirdness factor of what it smells and tastes like, and then it's in food. What I'm struggling with is how much of a minority taste it is, the people that like truffles and are willing to spend big on them. It would be quite a reveal if it turns out it's just Palo Alto billionaires and Russians with mega yachts. But if it's regular folks who, when they have a chance to get it and can, pay 3-4 times the usual price, do it, that speaks to me of something of value intrinsically in the sensory experience.
I think there's something to the pigs. I think the pigs are the key. Or maybe I just cannot believe that I was duped by the whole story.
I think that there's a third way, Stacey.
Tell me.
You're saying that you're suggesting there's a choice between either of these things are we have a natural pig-like predisposition to crave this flavor or smell.
Yes.
Option one, that's that there's objective truth here.
Yes.
And option two is, if not, then we're just all a bunch of suckers who are paying all this money for something that we don't really have any appreciation for.
Yes.
I think that there's something in between those two,
mm.
which is that we do have a true appreciation for this rare flavor. There is an experience on your tongue and in your nose that's taking place that tastes really good. As Avery has told us, you need that. To say that anything you're eating tastes amazing, you have to have that first. Then in addition to that, there is everything your brain is telling you.
Yes.
How much it costs. The story you're going to be able to tell your friends that you got to eat this special food, knowing that everyone else wants this but either can't find it or can't get it or can't afford it. And then the knowledge that you are indulging yourself.
Yes.
And so all of those things in your brain are added on top of the objective truth of the good flavor, and you reach this higher plane of deliciousness. And then you say, well, was it worth it? And at that point, if your brain says, yes, this entire experience was worth it, then you have not been duped.
Stacey, any final thoughts?
I will say this. I would be sad if they figured out how to cultivate white truffles. I really like the idea that there is still this thing in the world that is sort of mystical and mythical and wild and can only be found with dogs in the forests of Tuscany.
Right. Or, eventually soon, robots.
Drones. Yes. Truffle hunting drones.
All right. Well, our thanks also to Ian Praskayatha of Regalis Foods. He has a book coming out in February all about his rise to truffle glory. You can pre-order it now. It's called Truffle Boy.
Thanks also to Helen Holliman, editor-in-chief of the great website Munchies. She put us in touch with Ian.
And thanks to you, Stacey Vanek-Smith. What else have you been working on lately on Planet Money?
Well, we've been all about the election. We put out a couple episodes about Trump. In one of them, we look at some of the economic indicators that give us a little hint into what a Trump presidency will mean for the economy and for the world.
Thanks so much, Stacey. This was a lot of fun.
Thank you, Dan.
Please remember to send me your New Year's food resolution. Use your cell phone to record a voice memo with your name, where you're from, and what food you resolve to eat more of in the new year, and why. Send it to me, dan@sporkful.com. This show is a production of WNYC Studios and The Sporkful. It's produced by Shoshana Gold and Elizabeth Kulas. Editing help from Dan Charles. Music help from Black Label Music. Special thanks to Paula Schumann and to Alex Goldmark, Brian Erstadt, Robert Smith, and all our friends at Planet Money. Until next time, I'm Dan Pashman.
And I'm Edward Lindsay Hall III from Lynchburg, Virginia.
And I'm Gretchen in Amsterdam.
And I'm Brent from Vine Hill, California, reminding you to eat more.
Eat better.
And eat more better.
I mean, from a chemical point of view, the fact that it's got androstenone and a couple of other related molecules, there aren't a lot of foods that have that. In fact, if you get androstenone in ham, in a pork product, it's called boar taint, and it's usually discarded because it's considered bad.
Wait, I'm sorry. We got to rewind for a second. Are you telling me that the exact same molecule that makes truffles so prized when in ham is called boar taint?
Yeah.